Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 54. My name is John. Waiting. Watching the clock. It's 4 o'clock. It's gotta stop. Tell him. Take no more. She practices her speech. As he opens the door, she rolls over. Pretends to sleep as he looks her over.
This is a special edition of the Raging Rhino Podcast. My name is Gina. In this podcast, John and I are going to discuss the Ray Rice debacle.
Thank you, Gina.
Thank you, John.
So as you can hear, this is going to be a little bit different podcast than normal. It's not going to be just monologuing things. We are going to have a discussion. We're going to try to make this as fluid as possible. That means there's going to be some ambient noise. We're going to have cats meowing, probably, in the background. We're going to be having ice in our drinks clinking in our glass. So, just want to warn you in case you're wondering, what the heck is all that noise? So we're going to be talking about Ray Rice. For those of you who have no access to any kind of news information, Ray Rice is the running back, or was the running back, of the Baltimore Ravens. He beat his fiancée. There was a video of him pulling her limp body out of an elevator. And his word that he had hit her and knocked her unconscious. He was suspended for 2 games by the NFL. And a couple of weeks later, a second video was released, this one from the elevator where the incident happened, showing him actually hitting her. And as soon as that video was released, he was suspended indefinitely from the NFL. And released by the Baltimore Ravens. So, why are we talking about this? Why is Gina here? Why are we doing this as a conversation in the podcast? Because Gina and I are both victims of domestic violence. My earliest memory was standing in the hallway of my house with my mom's hands on my shoulder, holding on to me. My father is screaming at us. I don't know what happened. All I know is one of my siblings had done something. Could have been my brother, could have been my sister. Knowing them, maybe even both. Regardless, they did something to royally piss off my dad. And so he decided that his children needed to be spanked. So again, this is my first memory. The memory begins with him yelling at me and my mom. I don't know what happened to my brother and sister. I know they had been spanked. But all I remember is him yelling at me because I was next. And my mother yelling back, but we weren't even here. It didn't matter. He was mad. He wanted something to hit. He hit the first 2 kids, and he wasn't satisfied with that. My mom whisper to me, just go. As you can tell, my father and I did not have a very good relationship. Another time, I sassed him. He knocked me to the ground and proceeded to kick me in the ribs, and was beating me severely until my mother intervened, and then he began to beat her. It's not easy to talk about, and I'm already starting to get a little choked up about it. But it happens. And when it happens to you, it gives you a different perspective that other people who haven't endured such a thing might not have. But Gina, you have a situation also.
Right. My situation was a little different. This is with an ex-husband. It all started when we were arguing and he slapped me across the face. And of course, he apologized profusely and said it would never happen again. I, of course, believed him. The second time, and the worst of them all, was actually before we got married. And I was in the process of possibly losing my job, and that angered him also. And he pushed me up against the wall and started to choke me with his hands around my neck. And as I scratched him and tried to get him off me, finally he released me, and all he could say was, "Well, look what you did to me," as he pointed to the scratches on his arms. So, of course, I told no one, no friends, no family members, no coworkers. And then we got married. Yes, I know, it was a mistake. And it happened several times afterwards, but this time it included verbal abuse and emotional abuse, along with the physical. Finally, I broke my silence. I did tell a friend who suggested that I see a therapist and talk about it. So after several months of seeing a therapist and gaining strength, because that's really what you need, and courage, I left him. I figured it was time to go and be strong and start a fresh life for myself. So here I am today.
And I'm very thankful for that.
I am too.
So we have a little knowledge of this kind of situation. So, Gina, the first thing I want to ask you is, did you have any idea who Ray Rice was before this story broke?
Absolutely not.
Yeah? If you had asked me who Ray Rice was, I would have said, he plays sports. I think he plays football. But there's no way I would have been able to tell you that he played for the Ravens or what position he played. So, when the first video came out, what did you think of him?
Well, I thought he was an ass for what he did.
Yeah?
Plain and simple.
Yeah. Yeah, and I gotta agree with that. I mean, the first thing you hear about is like, oh, what kind of a jerk does that to anybody? You know, especially somebody you're supposed to love.
Exactly.
When the second video was released, inside the elevator where you actually see him punching her twice, knocking her unconscious. When he hit her the second time, then she fell, hit her head on the railing. But then again, she might have been knocked unconscious by the second blow or by the railing. Who knows? Regardless, when that second video came out and you actually saw the physical confrontation, what did you think?
I still thought he was an ass. I was even more appalled at the fact that somebody could do that to another person. It was kind of mesmerizing. I kept watching the video over and over again. Kind of sick.
Yeah. So it intensified the negative feelings that you already had. You already had the feelings, but it actually pushed it even further?
Oh, absolutely.
Alrighty. Now that we have the second video and we have the new set of punishments, in fact, I guess we maybe even start with the first set, the two-game suspension. Did you think that was adequate, inadequate?
I do actually think it was too lenient. Simply compared to the punishment for failing a drug test. I would much rather see somebody use drugs or performance enhancement drugs, this is my opinion, than hit a woman, or a man, for that matter.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's not so much that you're condoning the use of the drugs.
No.
But you're saying that if somebody were to use them, you would expect that to be a more lenient penalty than an abuse situation.
Absolutely.
Okay. A 2-game suspension. Yeah, and of course, they were kind of waffling around at the time saying, well, that's what it is within the league rules and the penalty for this situation. And was it the right thing to do? That's debatable. But when the second video comes out and you actually see it, I don't know how you feel, but I got the impression that the NFL said, holy shit, the second video is out. Everybody now has seen what our employee has done. We've got to do something really severe, you know, to show that we're doing something about this. Now, this 2-game suspension isn't enough anymore. You're suspended indefinitely.
But I think that was also the reaction to the public's outcry of the suspension. A lot of people were saying it wasn't enough. And then when the second video came out, then I think more people were outraged because you actually saw the act happening.
You know, it's kind of that situation where it's gone from something that's just kind of theoretical. You've heard the story. Now you've actually seen it.
Right.
And it's like, wow, this is even worse than I imagined now that I've seen it and I've actually been able to visualize the actual event. Now there's more of a public outcry, more of a push to do something about it.
Well, it also wasn't the fact that he hit her unconscious. Now you see him drag her lifeless body and just drop her face down in the doorway of the elevator and just stand there. He doesn't try to help her up. In fact, a passerby is someone that came to her aid and tried to help her up and fix her dress and push it down over her bottom and help her up. Well, he just stood there and he did nothing. That to me was worse. He just stood there and did nothing.
It's really the whole situation from beginning to end. It's not just the actual physical abuse. It was the lack of any kind of concern.
Correct.
I mean, it's one thing, I guess, maybe if you do something and it's like, holy shit, oh, I can't believe I did this. Let me do something immediately to try to make amends.
Right.
And not just fancy words, but just an actual, you know, do something, some kind of, you know, true action. But he didn't do any of that.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So he has an indefinite suspension. Should he be allowed to play again?
Honestly, I do believe he should be able to play again.
Okay.
I know it sounds kind of strange, and I really struggled with that. I actually believe that he should be able to play again. Maybe not this year. Let things cool down, get some help, and hopefully rehabilitate himself.
But he's always going to have that. He's always going to be labeled, isn't
sure.
he?
Sure.
Okay, so theoretically, let's say years go by, he never again harms another woman in any way. Should that stigma ever go away?
I'm really on the fence about that one. I don't know. They say that you once an abuser, always an abuser. I don't know about my ex-husband anymore. I know that he is remarried, and I do not know if he's ever hit his current wife, But I don't know if it deep down inside he has that rage that could come out again.
Fair enough. I kind of struggle with it too. I personally, if whenever I hear of Ray Rice again, you know, theoretically, he gets back into the game. He is a model citizen. You know, he spends, you know, the next decade in the league and you know, he does all kinds of good. There is always, to me, going to be, he is Ray Rice, he's done X, Y, and Z, and he's done a great job, but he hit his spouse back in 2014.
And also, the other thing that I struggle with is, we don't know what happens behind closed doors. And I speak from experience on that one. It went on for years, and no one knew. I hid it from my friends, family, people at church. When I finally told people at church, for example, that the reason why my husband and I are getting, ex-husband and I are getting a divorce, is because there was physical and verbal abuse. Their faces were shocked. They couldn't believe. They said, oh, you guys look so happy together. And we all wear masks. So who knows what went on behind Ray and Janae's doors? Who knows what happens? How do we know that he could be that model citizen on the outside? But what happens behind closed doors, we'll never know.
That's true.
Unless she speaks up, which we know she defended him. She married him. So she's going to continue to defend him and stay married.
And that's really just a perfect segue, because the next thing I wanted to ask you was exactly about that. How do you feel first about her, about the victim in this situation?
At first, I felt sorry for her. I really did. I was embarrassed for her, and my heart hurt because I know, not to the extent that she went through, but I know what it's like to hide that. And I wonder, was this the first time he ever hit her? Or slapped her or punched her? Now, I know there are plenty of people out there that say she started it. She provoked him by pushing her finger into his chest and arguing and saying something to him. But no matter what a woman does, they do not deserve to be hit. And I have finally convinced myself of that, because I believed it was my fault. If I didn't say that, or if I didn't provoke him, he wouldn't hit me. You know what? That's bullshit. So.
Okay. And by he, you mean your ex-husband.
My ex-husband.
Not the he sitting next to you right now.
Not the he.
Okay. Since they have eventually gotten married, of course, because this happened when she was still his fiancée, and they've gotten married, and she is now defending him and saying that she wants her husband to be allowed to play, should that have any bearing?
No, I don't think her opinion matters. This is between him and the NFL. He is their employee. They have rules.
Obviously, the abuse was not enough for her to walk away. She went ahead and married him anyway. How do you feel about that aspect of it?
I think that's her choice. If she chose to believe that he will never do it again, then that's her opinion. That's her choice. It's not up to us to judge her. We all will judge her, and I have even said to myself, she's stupid for marrying him and not leaving him, but we don't know her reasons for wanting to stay. It's her choice.
Sure. Of course, you know, she still got married to him, but there is the old saying, once an abuser, always an abuser.
True.
It's very difficult to see her make that decision going back to this person who did something so atrocious. But at the same time, the only way she's going to learn is by doing. Everybody can say, hey, get away from that guy. He did it once. He's going to do it again. Or at least chances are he's going to do it again, because the vast majority do. But if she chooses to go ahead with the marriage and stays with him and defends him, then really all we can do is just hope that she's made the right decision and he has learned from his mistakes and he never does it again.
I agree.
After the second video came out and he was suspended, the next home game after that, ESPN went to the stadium, they were filming, there were several people, men and women, but ESPN interviewed mostly the women, wearing Ray Rice jerseys. And every single one of them that they interviewed that was wearing his jersey said two things. First of all, they said that they did not condone what he did. He said that that his actions were repulsive. However, the second part of that is, they felt that there is either more to the story than just what we saw in the videos, or that even though he did this and it is atrocious, he deserves a second chance. How do you feel about those women and what they said?
Well, of course, everyone is entitled to an opinion. They have one, they make it based on the information that they've been given and what they feel inside. And you can't take away what somebody feels inside. As far as deserving a second chance, I would like to believe that everyone gets a second chance and they can be rehabilitated. As far as supporting him by buying his jersey and wearing it proudly, that's something that I could not do. But again, everyone is allowed to have their own opinion and choose what they want to believe.
Yeah, makes perfect sense to me. Absolutely. So as a follow-up to that, after ESPN showed these interviews where these women were saying specifically that they did not condone his actions, the analyst for ESPN...
Now, was that a female or a male analyst? I'm curious.
That was a female analyst. Then stated that she did not understand why these women were condoning his actions.
Huh?
Exactly. And this is what I don't understand about some of these analyses. You have this particular group of people, and this woman on ESPN pretty much embodies it, where you can state exactly, specifically, that you don't condone something, and then they will still turn around and say, oh, this is an example of these women condoning his actions. No.
But it makes a better story, John.
And I think that's exactly where I'm going with it. Because when you kind of stoke those fires, then you keep the story going, and then that way, every day on ESPN, when I go into the break room and I turn on SportsCenter for the 10 a.m. broadcast for the whole week, what's the first thing they talk about?
Ray Rice.
So there is definitely an aspect of this where the media is taking a bad situation and making it worse. Because it's one thing to report on it and to analyze it, but to misanalyze it.
Or overanalyze it?
Or overanalyze it, exactly. At that point, you're just making matters worse.
Right. Fuel, adding fuel to the fire.
Because I think the, kind of the most important thing about this story is it did bring to light that these horrible things happen. This is a famous person that's done it. You've heard from our stories at the beginning of this podcast. It happens to average folk. And it happens all across this world. And it's a horrible thing. When you have a story like this come to light, and it shines the light and focuses the attention on abuse, domestic abuse, you need to use that as an example to other people. Hey, look at what happened. If this is happening to you, get out of the situation. Don't let it happen to you again. But when you overanalyze and misanalyze in the media constantly, now it just becomes a bunch of noise. And it's not important anymore. And people just drop it. They let it go because, oh, they're talking about that shit again.
It's true. Yeah. I have to agree with that.
So the media really needs to just pay some attention to what the hell they're doing. And if you're going to have an analyst come on, at least you, when you're making an analysis, have it actually conform to what they're analyzing and not just making up their own assumptions. That's just my opinion.
It's a good opinion.
So, thank you very much, Gina.
You're welcome.
For your help here. I really do appreciate it. I know this was not something that it's easy, ever easy to talk about.
Well, one thing, I don't mind talking about it. My point of view is, if I could at least stop one person from having it happen to them, I can die happy. Because I would never want a woman or a man to go through the pain or the humiliation being in a domestic abuse situation. I have said this to John several times, that I would much rather my ex-husband hit me than verbally or emotionally abuse me. Because those things stick with you forever. And I came from a background even before my ex-husband where my uncle was very abusive as far as emotionally and verbally. He never hit me, but the emotional and verbal abuse still sticks with me 35 years later. And it's hard to get over. But the pain of a slap or a push or a punch, that goes away. But not the emotional abuse.
I couldn't agree more, because being told that I would never amount to anything, that I would always be a failure, hurt me a lot more than all the kicks to the ribs.
I agree.
One other thing that I wanted to touch base on, something that you mentioned, you said that women or men. Analysts will tell you that of all the actual domestic abuse that happens, about 20% of that is men being abused by women. They believe that's the case because there is such a stigma of a man being abused by a woman that they will not talk about it. They will suffer in silence rather than being further emasculated. If you've ever read Kelsey Grammer's autobiography so far, he details his abuse that he suffered by his wife. It happens. So, if there's anything that we would want, you know, to be taken from this podcast, is that no matter your situation, whether, you know, you're a woman being abused by a man being abused by a woman, a same-sex abuse, or if you're in a situation where you find out that children are being abused by an adult,
say something.
Say something. Do something. You don't have to deal with this. You don't have to continue to be hurt. There are better people out there for you who will not hurt you, who will uplift you and support you. And it might be difficult, and it might be scary.
No, John, it's not might be, it will be difficult. It absolutely will be the hardest decision that you've ever had to make in your life. But it's the best decision that you'll ever make. I can say that from my point of view and my experience.
Well said. Thank you, Gina. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So to wrap it up, I just want to talk a little bit about how would a libertarian dissect this situation? Well, the first question is, and I know this is an obvious answer, but it's the first question to ask, were rights violated? Because a libertarian will always say, if what you're doing is not violating somebody else's rights, then you should be allowed to do it. But obviously, rights were violated. This woman's rights were violated when she was physically beaten. So, the violator must face punishment. Ray Rice deserves to be tried in a court of law, and this is one of the functions that government is actually supposed to do. So, Ray Rice has to face whatever consequences come his way by the letter of the law. But once he completes those terms of his punishment, because let's be honest, he deserves some kind of punishment for this.
Absolutely.
Once he completes those terms, then he is allowed another chance. However, as individuals, we are under no obligation to give him that second chance or to forgive him for what he has done. So what does that mean? That means the NFL, his employer, does not have to continue to keep him employed if they choose not to. If the Baltimore Ravens don't want him around, he's gone. If another team wants to pick him up, that's their prerogative. But they're under no obligation to if they don't want that kind of person on their team. Now, the fans, if women want to go to the game wearing his jersey, hey, that, again, is their choice. If a fan says, no, that's it, I'm done with that guy, and burns his jersey, again, you know, every person has to make up their own mind. Now, he goes on, and maybe he rehabilitates himself after the story has settled down. Again, people are still going to have to make that choice. If you don't want to forgive this guy for what he's done, then don't. If you believe in your heart of hearts that this guy is a total creep because of this situation and he doesn't deserve forgiveness, then don't forgive him. And if somebody tries to, you know, get on your case about it, screw them. It's your beliefs, and it belongs to you. Whatever Ray Rice has done, we know some of what he's done. Don't know the whole story. Hopefully that's the only thing he's ever done. I mean, I hope. But whatever he's done, he's got to face the consequences. Just like everybody else. So thank you very much, Gina. I appreciate your help here.
You're welcome.
And this is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.